And God spoke something to me. And this is what He said. He said, everything you ever desire, every unhidden thing that you want to come to light, everything you really need to know requires, number one, humility. The ability to shut down your thinking and to let the Holy Spirit speak. For He won't speak on His own initiative. There are a lot of people always telling me the Holy Ghost told them to do this and the Holy Spirit told them to do that. Most of the time, the authority that I've received didn't come directly from the Holy Ghost. It came from God. The Holy Spirit shared it with me. But really, there's two authorities that are at work. The authority of the believer in the earth and the authority of the Father in heaven. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does not speak on His own initiative, but what He hears, that He will speak. And when I saw that, the first time I saw that, I began to realize He will not utter a thing unless we either ask Him or God gives Him instructions to share with us. But really, the word exousia, authority, I thought was very interesting. I looked up through the concordance. I think Lonnie did that after I shared it with staff one day, that the word exousia, authority, is not associated with the Holy Spirit on its own initiative to do anything. He does it on the initiative of the believer in the earth or our Heavenly Father in heaven. And God the Father is the planner. It always works that way. And the Son is the implementer of the plan. He implements it. And then the Holy Spirit reveals it. He's a revealer. Every time. And He's our advocate. He's our helper. But we have to draw from Him and how important it is. Now, I had you open up to the book of 1 John. Go to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And let's go to verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Notice he's not here at the time of the book, writing of the book. The Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, he was saying there will be an Antichrist that is to come, future. But he said that spirit of the Antichrist is already here, already at work in the earth. The word Antichrist means that which is against the anointing or that which is against Christ. And he goes on and say, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Now, what was he saying? He wasn't saying they weren't saved. He was literally beginning to reveal something to the body of Christ that John the Apostle began to see. That the body of Christ at that time were being caught up and deceived in doctrines that would not prove the validity of the Lord Jesus Christ as God manifested in the flesh. And he then began to reiterate a very important thing that you and I need to take note of. And that is, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Well, the way the translators put that, it seemed to think that just because you have that inward anointing, you know everything. But what he was saying is you have the capacity to know what you need to know concerning the kingdom of God. And so right away, the writer John said, no, you know that it is the last hour. And the last hour that he was referring to was he was the last living eyewitness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he walked with, talked with, laid his head on his chest. He knew Jesus more than any of the other apostles. And matter of fact, Jesus gave testimony that he would be the last one to go. According to history, they tried to boil him in oil. And he kept coming out of the boiling oil and saying, you ought to love one another. He had no enemy at all. John had no enemies anymore. He would not take a brother and a sister and murder them in his heart. For his epistle here clarifies that no matter how bad the world comes at you, keep love as your main goal in your heart, because that's what God is all about. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, because God so loved the world. And yet when you have murder in your heart for anybody, you got to get rid of it, because then you will lock yourself up from really knowing who God is. And what happened with these people that he was talking about, that went out from them because they were not of us. These were people who had abandoned the concept of the Holy Spirit at work within their heart. The Holy Spirit person is the only person that can reveal the kingdom of God to you. Now, I'm going to say something that might catch you off guard, but you know that that Bible that is in your lap has everything you need to know about the kingdom. But guess what? If the Holy Spirit cannot attach itself to you to reveal that word to you, all you've got is what I call graphite on paper, period, over and out. That's all you got. But God has to speak to you from the pages of that Bible and make it come alive. And he's the only one that can do that. And that is called Holy Spirit. However you want to, Holy Ghost, however you want to say it. But I'll tell you what, I believe right now that we are in a very critical stage of the church's history, because right now I'm seeing more and more not really understanding how important it is to plug into the Holy Ghost and speak about tongues and everything that's involved in the Holy Ghost. We need that more than ever. You need to be challenged to be in His face and speaking in tongues and craving God's Word. But and knowing that you have enough sense about you that even though you have men and women over you teaching you, you still have enough God-given ability to pray in the Holy Ghost for yourself and to pray in that language God gave you, which is distinct for our generation, and pull out the hidden mysteries of the revelation of God's Word. That means more to me than anything else. Man, there isn't a day I go by I don't pray in tongues. And thank God for that heavenly language, how supernatural it is. Hallelujah. It's the only way that I can communicate with you beyond my natural intellect. It's a voice that I want to hear more than the voice of my own mouth, because I know I'm praying the proper prayer with the aid of the Holy Spirit when I'm communicating. It don't make much sense to my intellect. Good! I don't understand what I'm saying. Good! Leave the donkey out of the equation and you'll be fine. Hallelujah. But John the Beloved said the reason these people were departing from him, because they got away from the Holy Ghost. How do you know that? Because of the text of where he goes. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. Did you know every one of you have an anointing from the Holy One? Did you guys know that? Every one of you have an anointing from the Holy One. And by that, you know what truth is because of that. Because he says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth. He's writing to them because they know the truth. How do they know the truth? But because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. How many of you did not want to attend church because of the hypocrites? You know, I found out when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues, hypocrisy wasn't my issue. I wanted to get into the church to change them. We're not that frail, people. You're called to conquer. You're called to be victorious. You're not called to run off. You know what running off is? An excuse to stand and fight for what's right and what belongs to you. And he says here, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Boy, I love that. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you can know all things. You know what? Just before Jesus' death, you know what he did? All he talked about was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost this, the Holy Ghost that. Holy Ghost this, the Holy Ghost that. Holy Ghost is going to say this, the Holy Ghost is going to show you that. Are you going to see everything? Because the Holy Ghost is going to show it to you. All you have to do is talk to him and ask him. It's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Look for the Holy Ghost. Look for the Spirit. When he comes, he will show you all things. You will see clearly. What do you mean? You're going to go where we can't go. But when he comes, we can see you? What is that all about? That's what they ask him. He said, the reason you can is because you get the Holy Ghost. Well, I'll tell you what. You can ask my wife. I live daily with the Holy Ghost. I live daily with the Holy Ghost. I don't put him on the shelf for a week and then run into a catastrophe and say, Holy Spirit, what do I do? No wonder he doesn't say much. Because if he told you the truth, you'd fall apart. Go to verse 24 of this chapter. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, actually lead you astray. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you abide in him. So what had happened is these guys thought they were with God. They thought they had the mind of God. And they were sharing a lot of junk. That the apostles laid this foundation that's in your lap. The apostles laid that down there. And these guys got away from what the apostles laid down. Wouldn't get under them any longer. But the apostles, they were centered around the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. And they had what you call a koinonia, a fellowship, where they all came into an agreement together, all of the apostles. And there was a bunch of them that didn't agree with the apostles. And so they left them. Follow us, we know what the truth is. And right away, John the Beloved said, this is why the church is starting to disintegrate already. It's because many of them have gotten away from the agreement of the power of the Holy Spirit. Started listening to the witness of men rather than the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Did you know the basic thing that you inherit when you get born again? The very basic thing you inherit is an inner witness. Every one of you got very basic. Mean you get something on the inside of you when you know that you're doing wrong. Something on the inside goes wrong, 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 wrong. And we sit there. Every time I did something after I got born again that was not right, I had a buzzer go off on the inside of me every time. And you guys, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because I ain't the only one that inherited that buzzer when I got saved. Nee. That's what I'm talking about. Nee. It gets worse the closer you get to God. That's why a lot of Christians don't want to be real close to God. Why? Because he gets more demanding. Many believers are saved, but Jesus is not their Lord. It's till you get under the Holy Ghost that he's going to make you his Lord. And so I know this word abide, what it means. Actually, the word abide is a translator's concept. But the Greek mind literally was remain. Somebody says, well, what do you mean remain? Well, he's in you, but guess what? He doesn't remain with you if you allow your carnal mind to have its voice. You depart from his voice. Now, this might shock some of you, but did you know that nobody was born again until Jesus was resurrected? Did you know that? And did you know that Jesus said, Once the new birth comes into play, the Holy Spirit will come and move in you. Did you know the Holy Ghost couldn't move in the heart of a person until the person received Jesus as his Savior? Then the Holy Spirit came in. You see, that's what Caiaphas, the high priest's complaint was about. He said Jesus had the audacity to say the Holy Spirit was not here until after he's gone away. And we know that's a lie because the Holy Spirit has been here since Genesis 1:1. That's what Caiaphas said. But people, I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost was here from Genesis. But he wasn't residing in the hearts of men until the resurrection, till the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Then the Holy Spirit moved in. He was with you, but he shall be in you. Now, with that thought in mind, the Holy Ghost, are you ready, was not given to a dead man. The Holy Spirit was given to a living person called Spirit. He was not given to your intellect, your natural mind. He was given to your inward spirit man. And his main job is to let the Word of God go through your natural thinking into your spiritual mind. And let the Holy Spirit then begin to reveal God to you through your spiritual mind, not your head. Because if that's the case, then you can be a fruit loop and even be baptized in the Holy Ghost and not know nothing. Because your outward mind will control everything. And I've learned that if I want to discover God, my natural mind has to be left out of the equation. My intellect cannot control me. Why? Because it can't know God the way your spirit man can know Him. John, the beloved, or Paul, the apostle, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says the intellect cannot even know God, can't comprehend Him. It can know about Him, but he can't know Him. He can't know His heart, His mind, His will. Because the carnal mind is made up of the sense gates. But the word remain means in relation with which one person stands with another, chiefly in John's writings. Thus, to remain or with someone, that is to be and remain united with him, one with him in heart, mind, and will. That's what that's referring to. Now, I've noticed some people can pick up a religious spirit and segregate themselves from the authority of the anointing of the body of Christ. I found some of them. They come to me, can you do this for us? We need this very bad. Well, I have to go to the Holy Spirit and find out whether He wants me to do that or not. Really? And I have a need for the body of Christ, and you got to go and get God's permission to meet that need when I find that you can do it? You know what I find that? An excuse for not wanting the responsibility of laboring together with those whom you love in the Lord. I have found that the Holy Spirit will never cause you to act independently of the body of Christ in the earth. He will always work with you, with the body of Christ. He has a specific calling for your life that goes without question. But in the meantime, as you're growing and developing in Him, usually He will find some place for your hands to work. Are you following me? Now, I'm going to get into some real controversial stuff about this Holy Ghost. If you will, turn over to chapter 5 of 1 John here. I have read an article at one time, well, several times, several different articles through random study books that I have. And in the center of the margin of my Bible, if you will, in 1 John chapter 5, go to verse 4. As I was reading this one day, I began to look at the center of my margin, and there was a note there in the center of my margin. It took interest to me. And so from that footnote, I went and started looking at other sources to find out whether this was true or not. But in the center of my footnote, where you find in verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9, verse 7 and verse 8, it says that my Greek interlinear omitted the rest of verse 7 and threw on the earth through verse 8, a passage found in Greek in only 4 or 5 very late manuscripts. Well, when I did my research on that, Lonnie, you might take up the research after me, but when I was looking that up, I found that these verses, verse 7 and verse 8, was changed during the Nicene Creed, the Dark Ages of the Nicene Creed control. And so a lot of the Greek scholars don't really go along with the translation the way it's translated here, because they don't have enough witnesses to prove that they're valid, because they could have come off the Nicene Creed. Now, the Nicene Creed was a bunch of people that got together after the apostles and the converts of the apostles started dying off and wanted to take control of biblical community Christianity and begin to bring in. That's where Catholicism, all kinds of things begin to come out of that thing. And that's where the Holy Ghost seemed to have lost its foothold concerning the body of Christ. Now, I don't know. I can't give it to you very accurately because I'm not all that knowledgeable on that aspect. But if you will, look at verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's the Greek word Nike. That's where we get Nike. If you buy a Nike, you can overcome the world, you know. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Actually, this is the victory overcoming the world, our faith. Who is he who has overcome the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. And the word for Spirit here, you might have a capital S, it is correct. It is referring to the Holy Spirit. And now, notice, I'm going to read it to you how the translators worded it, which really doesn't have enough witnesses to bear it. But then I'm going to read it to you out of the Greek. In verse 7 it says, for there are three who bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. Now, I read it to you as the translators put it, but here's the theme of this book. John was saying, this is how you're going to correct your koinonia, your fellowship with each other. First of all, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to be your advocate. You have to allow him to speak what is not right in you that will deny the fellowship of another brother. You've got to remove that darkness in you so you flow together as one. And he says, how are you going to do this? With the aid of the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that can give you the advocacy that you need to remove that darkness. If you don't remove that darkness, then your koinonia, your fellowship, won't be fixed like it should be. Because the theme of 1 John is not relationship, it is fellowship. It is our fellowship with each other. And he says here, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is a Spirit. the Holy Spirit, who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. And what he is referring to here is the culmination of what he said previously in the book. They went out from us because they were not, and they wanted to show the whole body they were not from, a part of us, because they wanted to leave and divide the body up by leaving the church. And bringing a reproach against the doctrines that we adhered to. And he says the reason they did that is because there was no inward anointing working in their heart. They didn't stick to the Holy Ghost to bear witness of the Son. Are you following me? And so he comes down to the end of the book and he says, listen, I'm going to tell you how important it is for the Holy Ghost to stay a part of your life. You can't just be learning from men all the time. You got to also be learning from the Holy Ghost. He says the reason you don't receive from these people, because it's contrary to what the Holy Ghost has been telling us. He wasn't saying you don't receive from people. He was talking about receiving from deceivers that can't come into agreement with what the apostles were saying. Now notice what he says here. Verse 6 is talking about the birthing canal. And I got news for you. If you don't believe in the virgin birth, you have cut Christianity at its roots. You have to believe in the virgin birth. Now here is how it's worded in the Greek. For there are three who bear witness. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in the one. That's it. Everything else has never been there other than through a few verses that they can't bear witness with because it came out of the Dark Ages. So it means some translator put that rest of that junk in there. And why would he even bring this subject up? Here's why. He's saying, if you really want to know what the truth is, if you really want to find out who Jesus really was, he says it's very obvious the Holy Ghost would know. Because he was involved in the birthing of Jesus in the earth. He conceived in the womb of Mary. And if that's the issue, then he's the one you'd go to that would know all about the birthing of the Son in the earth. That's the only point he was trying to bring out. Now, if you will, let's look at the end of 1 John 5, the very end of it. The most difficult verse in the entire book. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 21. Are you ready? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. You know what an idol was? Someone who would take an inanimate object and carve an image and call it a god and worship it. And what he was saying, my little children, you better stick to the Holy Ghost. Because if he conceived in the womb of Mary and brought forth Jesus, he's the one that would qualify to deliver you truth. So in the end, he concludes with this. Please don't carve your own image of Christ. Don't do that. Let the Holy Ghost reveal clearly. Let you see clearly Christ in you. The hope of glory. I'm going to tell you something, people. When a minister doesn't talk much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, doesn't talk much about speaking in tongues, doesn't talk much about spiritual things, and when he does, he mocks them, I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't sit under that kind of person, because I'm going to tell you right now, they are against the kingdom of God, because everything about the Holy Spirit is precious. Everything about the Holy Spirit is true. Everything about the Holy Spirit we need to cling to. We need to make it our own, regardless of what our intellectual says. There are people coming up with this song. Well, if God wanted you to speak in tongues, you wouldn't have spoken in tongues when you got born again. There have been some that have done that. Thank you. Well, you know, there's no such thing as a second act of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then I wish that the book of Acts would not have brought that out. I mean, you know something? People, it don't take much to pray in the Holy Ghost and then go to the Bible and then understand it. But you can't find it with your natural mind. You got to find it by the words of your tongue beyond your intellect, talking to God with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Do you know you can't speak in tongues without the Holy Spirit being there to give you that ability? Why did He give you that language? To keep your intellect out of it. If I wanted to know something that is a mystery hidden in the Word of God, would I ask God with my intellect how to unveil that thing? I would have to have the help of the Holy Spirit praying with that tongue, that language of my new birth, that language of my spirit talking to God in order for that to be answered. Because the Holy Spirit will not give any revelation on His own initiative. It would be either from heaven or from me. God and me are in the equation, and the Holy Spirit is the revealer. Period. Over and out. I went through a phase for quite a while of confusion. Has anybody ever gone through confusion? In very critical areas of confusion in my life through the Word of God, still happens occasionally. Somebody will hit me with something, and I'll sit there and I'll think about it. But you know what? I always give myself what I call patient time. Have any of you heard of patience? I know that's a new word for a lot of us in this generation because of the drive-thrus and all that, microwaves and whatever else. But you know, I've learned to be patient with God on some things. Because I know that if the answer is going to come, it's got to come apart from my natural understanding. It always has to come apart from my natural understanding. It can't come by my own reasoning. It's got to come by my natural understanding. And so people will say things to me that will catch me off guard. And I'll get to thinking about it because I want to be teachable. I want to be open to what anybody ever has to say. And I was actually taught at one time, we're not called to spit out the sticks. But I found out that's not true. We're always spitting sticks out, I'll tell you that. I'm spitting sticks out of myself. But when they said something, you'd think that would be the most chiefest thing settled in my heart. And I had a brother tell me, he says, were they supposed to keep the law of the Old Testament? And I says, no, they weren't intended on keeping the law. And this minister said, wrong. They were told that they had to keep the law. How many of you know that would be a basic question? Normally. To me, my brain locked up because something on the inside just went, nee. But then he gave me his reason for why he came up with what he came up with. And I got to thinking, whoa, I never thought of that. And here's his reasoning. Why would God give you something that you couldn't keep? That would be an unjust God. For He has to give you something that you could keep. And so when ministers are preaching that they couldn't keep the law, that Jesus had to come to fulfill it, there's something wrong with that. They could keep the law. There was always a remnant that kept the law. But you know what my brain did? Neat. Neat. And it prompted me to go and search in the Old Testament where they were killed by the law. You know, God in the Old Testament was, wow, I'm glad I don't serve Him now. But I noticed something. There was only one incident where I find that a righteous man dropped dead because he steadied the ark. I don't believe that man lost eternal life. It was just a teaching aid to show that humanity can't touch deity. So whether you like it or not, you're going to get a new body, people. This one can't go to heaven. And so, you know where I found that death always incurred in not keeping the law? When they rebelled against it. And they were those who agreed with the law and didn't keep it. They didn't croak. Why? Why was that? Well, they weren't in rebellion to it, but you got in rebellion to the law. God used you as an example. And he was teaching man in the Old Testament. They couldn't keep it. So let's come on over into the New Testament. Did he ever admit that anyone? What about Paul? He said, I was blameless concerning the law. And then you read verses like in Romans 8, the impossible thing of the law. And then you read where Jesus had to come to fulfill the law. But then I found verses that said, the purpose of the law. And I found the purpose of the law was to educate you what is right from what is wrong. That's all it was intended to do. And that you could not keep the law according to the flesh, but you can after the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus changes your heart. Not the outward appearance. It changes the heart. The law of Christ changes the heart of a person. And we're talking about the heart Sunday nights. Going into detail what the heart means and what its function is and everything. Your whole salvation is dependent on it. It's an important subject to know. But I found that these men, Jesus said, yeah, you were commendable for the law and all that, but he never did admit to them they kept it. He went ahead and gave them a little story that showed even though they were so perfect with the law, he educated them, they still didn't keep it. Remember the lawyer? He said, I'm flawless with the law. He said, really? Yeah. I followed it to the letter. He says, good. Sell all your bucks. Get rid of all your money. Give to the poor and follow me. Said he could not. Well, then he violated every one of the commandments. If you break one, you break them all. Why? Covetousness had a hold of his heart. See, the heart's important. Now, why did I say this? People, I'm going to tell you something. You need to get into Scripture. And you need to make an appointment that if you haven't even been baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking, you need that language because when you get there, that's what you're going to use for a language there. Dean said that's all everybody does, speak in tongues. They have a language of their own. You know what that means? It means it's pretty important while you're here. And I'm going to tell you something. If it hadn't have been for praying in tongues at the failures I made in my life, and I'm going to tell you, I made quite a few. That all as I had left, the only thing I was stripped of, all the dignity that a believer could have, I was stripped of it. And the only way I could get out of it is to get in my prayer closet and start praying in tongues. And then I understood what Jude was saying. He says, you, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I just prayed myself right out of the desert, right into the streams of living water by just speaking in tongues. I wasn't getting revelation. All I was doing was strapping for life back in me. And I don't know how you and I as believers today could not have a fire back under us without us not being able to speak in other tongues. It's crazy. It's ludicrous. I believe that on the day of Pentecost, when that Holy Ghost came down, it said cloven tongues as a fire. I believe that was a symbol that when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get a fire lit over your life. Yeah. Amen, amen. I love that. Somebody had heard my teaching on praying in tongues. I said they started doing it and got on fire. And then she was told that all it was emotions. Dried out. Like dried fruit, ready to be devoured by the enemy. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living. It didn't say out of your belly will flow the well of salvation. It says out of your innermost being will flow rivers. You know what rivers are? A place where power is produced. It didn't say you pray in tongues, you become the Dead Sea. It said you would become a river of living, coming forth from your innermost being, pouring out of you. And I'm going to tell you, we live in a world where the cares of this world are too easy to get a hold of us. We can get drier than cracker juice if we don't do something about letting the Holy Spirit be a part of our life daily. I like it when you get around brothers and sisters. All they want to do is talk about the Word. I just want to talk. And then you get around some people, you're afraid to talk about the Word because if you bring up something, they're going to fight you for it. I like getting around people who are going to talk about the Holy Ghost. Some Christians get around, all they want to talk about is murmuring and complaining. They want to have chicken dinner, right? Is that what you call it? John called it. We had church fillet every Sunday afternoon. Chicken dinner. Hallelujah. Well, did you guys receive something here tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Little man. Little kids will praise Him. Praise God. That's why we need to become like a little child. They don't try to reason godly things away. They can recognize and they can know. The first time I heard about praying in tongues, something in me went, wow, I had a witness. I've got to have that. Remember that, Sue? Got to have it. I'll never forget walking up to that guy. He told me the best thing he ever told me in my life. I said, my brother told me you speak in tongues. You could tell he had some spiritual pride. He goes, oh, yeah. I said, well, what do you do with that? He says, well, hasn't anybody told you? That's a direct line from God. Wow. That's what my mind did. My mind locked up. A direct line from God? How would you like me to give you a cell phone and say, all you have to do is flip it? Well, that's old. Now it's that, right? It's not this. It's... How would you like... And you got God on the line. Is this God? Yes. You know, over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you know that warfare that goes on? God, can you tell me all about that? Yes. Just a minute while I get out my typewriter. Oh, that's old-fashioned too. Get out my Galaxy tab. That's what it meant to me. And I was not satisfied till I got it. Was I disappointed after I started speaking in tongues? Absolutely. I couldn't find anything more boring in my life. Because I thought it was just me. Somebody said, now hear my tongues and imitate them. Imitate them? I don't like that word, imitate. They're trying to force me to speak in tongues. That's what they're trying to do. Because I had it in my mind that God would come down and zap my tongue with electricity and make it move and make it jar all around and speak this language. That's what I had in my mind. Your carnal mind is so dumb. It is so stupid. And so I was sitting there, I'll never forget it, doing everything I could to strain. And I'll never forget Emmett slapping me. That's not the way you speak. She says, you just let it come out of you. Okay. And then finally, I said, bam! Power of God hit me. And afterwards I got to thinking, Was that me or was it the Holy Ghost? It was so simple. Isn't it funny how your carnal mind, because it can't know God, always looks at God way beyond its own ability to comprehend Him? Did you know that? You know, first time I heard that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you know what my carnal mind said? You can't go and be thinking that way. You're just outdoing Jesus when you start doing those things. Your carnal mind, it's crazy. Because it don't want to agree with God. But I'm going to tell you something. You experience the Holy Ghost, and I don't care what generation we're living in now. If you give this generation the Holy Ghost, you will see a generation come alive and tear this world up for Jesus. And start dedicating their life to Him. Because we as ministers got to start preaching more on the Holy Ghost and getting the spraying in tongues and getting that baptism and have us a Pentecost. This is Pentecostal time, people. This is the time more than ever that we need to speak in tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost. This is more than ever, because I'm going to tell you right now, I know this in my spirit right now. There are several of you that are still struggling with things that you detest of yourself, and you're trying to overcome them and you can't overcome, but you let the Holy Ghost get to speaking in your tongues. You get the Holy Ghost on fire on you, and God will change your heart, and those very things that you can't get a hold of, you'll let them go. You'll let loose of them. Praise God. You won't allow them to addict you. They will come under the control of you. You will have your life back if you let the Holy Ghost flow in your life more than ever. Let the Holy Ghost be your King. Hallelujah. And He will show you and take you right into the face of the living God. And you will have victory that you've never had. For you just got to make your mind up. You're going to be determined that you're going to serve God no matter what you go through. But you got to use the Holy Ghost to help you do that. One guy asked a theologian, how close can you get to God? The theologian said, as close as you want to be. As close as you want to be. Well, I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost will put a fire in you that will draw you very close. I don't know who you are, but there's a young person here. You have been battling. You don't have to answer this, because God wouldn't do anything to embarrass you. But you have been battling an addiction for a long time. You fed it so well that it is now controlling you. You love the Lord, but you can't break from it. And then when you make the decision to break from it, the friends and the fellowship that you have undoes the very thing that you've labored against. Because I'm going to tell you, there is a weakness to our soul. It's very influenceable. Unless the Spirit is in control. But the Lord wanted me to tell you today, this is your day. Not tomorrow, not the next. This is your day to be free of it. And oh, how beautiful it is to be free of the wrong things. Hallelujah. Some of you have money problems. An addiction still has a hold of you. You're not getting free financially like you'd like to. It's because the money still has a hold of you. Let it go. Let it go and you'll do righteousness. Yeah, but I don't know how to handle a situation. There's one way you can handle any situation, and let it go and out of control of you. And in the control of the Spirit. And you'll be free of it. Because God will show you how to walk out of everything. People, God didn't give you the Holy Ghost to leave you neutralized. He gave you the Holy Spirit to pray through. And be your helpmate, come alongside you, and work with you to step out of it. Are you guys ready? Stand up, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming down now to the end of this message, and And Father, I felt strongly to speak about the Holy Spirit and the baptism, evidence of speaking in another tongue. Father, I know that when spiritual things start coming to light, it causes the fainted heart. It causes the fleshly believer to run. But Father, today I challenge everyone in here that if they need more of the Holy Spirit, today is their day. Father, they need to go all the way. Time to get off the fence. Time to get into the kingdom of God. Time to move with Him. Because time is short. So if you're here and you haven't experienced that wonderful power, blessing of the Holy Spirit, then we want to encourage you to come forward and receive the baptism of the Spirit today. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, today is the day to do it. Make Him your Lord, not your Savior, His Lord. Make Him your Lord. Fight the good fight of faith. Be free from everything you need to be free of that hinders you from the fullness of the kingdom of God. Restore your walk with Him. There ain't a greater pleasure than restoration in your heart and life. Hallelujah. 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 Salvation is so important. So with that said, anyone that the Holy Spirit is working here, step out right now and come forward, anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you be ashamed. You feel free to come forward right now. Today is your day of freedom. Hallelujah. Don't be subject to bondage. Don't withhold from Him. Never withhold. If you know God's tugging at your heart, you even feel that message. I'm going to tell you something. Don't hold back from God. God will work with a person's heart for so long. And then when He's done, He's done. He'll leave it up to you when you get ready. But boy, anything can happen at that time. Come forward here, sweetheart. Anybody else? Anybody else? Don't be a victim. No longer be a conqueror. Hallelujah. Yes, right here. Anyone else? Come on. Don't play that game with God. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost ain't through yet. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, sweetheart. Come right here. Right here. Yes. Hallelujah. What an honor. What an honor. You're blessed. You're just a blessing. Hallelujah. Because you're answering the cry of the Spirit. What a blessing. What an honor. I tell you, He's still tugging at another person's heart here. Hallelujah. You've been struggling. You've been struggling financially, and a lot of it is due to the fact that you're killing your own self by your attitude. You need to take a complete heart change and allow God to start moving in your heart. You need that more than anything else. You need to come up here. Hallelujah. If you feel God's tugging on you to be up here, you got to come up here. I feel it very important in my spirit. Hallelujah. It's good to have a nice message, but the Spirit of God needs to work in your heart more than ever. Hallelujah. 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 You know, there's somebody here that's been hurt from church. Another church, you've been hurt. God told me to tell you, you can only be hurt if you want to be hurt. Hallelujah. But if you're here because you've been hurt by another church, it's time to just get it settled with Jesus right here and let that hurt go. You need to let that hurt go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need to let it go. The whole world can offend anybody. But I tell you what, we're not to be offended by what the world does. We're to be affected by what Jesus does in our hearts. That's what it's about. The Spirit of God's here this morning. Spirit of God is here this morning. Dealing with some hearts. Hallelujah. Break every chain. There's going to be some chains broken here this morning. Hallelujah. There's going to be some chains broken here. Hallelujah. Every one of you that are out here listening, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is so important for your life. Praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, Rababa. Father, I thank you. I thank you. We need some more. One more. Another personal worker right here. Oh, Rababa. The name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Okay, let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, whatever it is that they needed coming forward, Father, that need will be met. My Heavenly Father is a big God. He is a powerful God. He can break chains. He can change hearts. He can make people be what they need to be and what they want to be in Jesus' name. Father, fulfill that for everyone that has come forward here today. Father, may they be victorious in their walk from this day forward. Let them be victorious in their walk from this day forward. Father, as they're under this anointing, may this anointing meet their commitment, meet their need, meet their change. Hallelujah. 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 Jerry, sister, come here. Because of your faithfulness with God, because you've kept your heart on Him, God is going to bring back what the locust has taken. And it will never come again to devour you. You're going to be free. You're going to be free because of your faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have a right to the abundance for your family. And God told me that it is within your power, your strength, your faith, that the locusts will not come back because of your faithfulness. You receive that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm going to tell you both right now, God's got His hand on both of you in a wonderful way. Today is a very important day for you. Very important day that you move with God. And you know what? There's some issues that are coming. But you know what? God's going to take care of those little issues. They will change. Okay. Turn around and just be with that person behind you. And go with them, and they'll bless you. Oh, ba 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 ba